Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Continuing on, hour number two of overtime. Toby Altizer with you until 6 o'clock. Joining us now in studio, making his debut here on The Fan, Kevin DiDomenico. I think I've got it down.
Yeah. It's a 20% hit rate on that, so yeah, you nailed it.
It's better than my batting average then, because 200 would be an improvement for me.
Hanging at the Mendoza line. Okay.
Tell us a little about yourself before we get into some baseball NBA Finals discussion. We'll start here.
Yeah, sure. DC guy through and through. Probably the first thing you should know on this station. I was on the station almost 15 years ago to the day, on the Kids Run the Show day.
Sick.
On September 12th, 2010. You know, I was into play-by-play probably since I was 8 years old, and I won a contest when I was 10 to do an inning on the air with Charlie and Dave. And so, yeah, I've been a loyal listener now for 15 years, and happy to be here with you, Toby.
Which inning did you do, and is there anything memorable from that inning?
It was the third. I did a half inning, and it was back when Giancarlo Stanton was Mike Stanton.
Okay.
Hit a home run, and they didn't let me do any play-by-play, but I got in on the call, and Dave was big on. Dave said you got out in front of that thing. You knew it was gone off the bat, and yeah, I know. So I've done a couple of years of minor league play by play. I was with the Pulaski Yankees back in 19, with the Salem Red Sox for a couple of years. So know all about the Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer stuff. Know those guys, and then the Reno Aces, the AAA team for the Diamondbacks back in 23. So
sick.
Yep.
Sick.
Been through the ringer and in the minors, and happy to be here too.
Well, welcome to 106.7 The Fan. So we've got plenty to discuss. We're going to start with the NBA Finals and Game 7. First time since 2016 we're going to get a Game 7. And I bring that up because for a lot of people this final series isn't going to be memorable. Do you buy in on that? Like, I feel like the Thunder and Pacers getting there, I don't know if it's good for the league or not. I'm not one that generally cares about that narrative. But I do think it's a good thing in that either Tyrese Halliburton or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to become a bona fide superstar because they've won an NBA championship.
I think it's a fun season to people, or a fun series for people who are interested in the NBA and
Definitely.
Have been watching all season. But from the casual, you know, obviously in terms of ratings, it just hasn't gotten the job done at all. You look back to Game 5, averaged 9.54 million on NBC. That's down 22% from last year, and then it's the lowest since 2020. So it's a fun series, right? It's the best offense against the best defense. These are probably the two best teams in the NBA. And someone made a good point earlier today. Do you think that if Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers close it out, is that the worst player on a team to win an NBA Finals in the last 20 years?
Well, and I was telling JP this yesterday. I can already write articles for whoever, whatever publication wants. If the Pacers win, just wait in about a week, a month, you're going to get an article. Worst teams to win a championship in NBA Finals history, right? Like that's what it's going to be. But the reason I think this is so intriguing is it goes to a game seven. And the last couple of games haven't been particularly close. But the reason I bring this up is 2016 is the last time it went there. And we all remember that one. Cleveland comes back from 3-1. We remember that series very favorably. Let me read you the scores of these games. Because the series itself sucked. Game 7 was awesome, though. Game 1, Golden State 104-89. Game 2, Golden State 110-77. Game 3, Cleveland 120-90. Game 4, 108-97 Warriors. Game 5, 112-97 Cavs. Game 6, 115-101 Cavs. None of those games are close. Not a single one finishes in single digits. And then Game 7 was epic, 93-89 Cavs. The block by James, all that stuff was epic. But that series is remembered super favorably. So do you think that if Game 7 tomorrow night goes favorably and it's a close game and it's, you know, it's a 3-4 point game and Shea has a big moment or Halliburton has a big moment, that we're going to look back on this series, even though it's not big name markets, do we look back on it favorably because the Game 7 was such a good one?
Oh, yeah, totally. You look back to all those Game 7s, too, and you look back to the last couple. 2013, remember the Heat, victorious, 95-88. They're always so low scoring. And I think that favors the Thunder going into tomorrow night. The best defensive team in the league. It's going to be a defensive battle. The last NBA Finals Game 7 to go for one team to score 100-plus, 1988.
Really?
1988, the Lakers against the Pistons. And so I think you're going to have another game like that. But yes, back to your point, there's a chance, there's an opportunity for Shea to make a statement, you know, and to you know, he's already arrived, but.
Well, and I feel like they've run into a spot here where you're the NBA and you almost got lucky because the league is built so much on stars, right? It's built so much on these guys that they can market their names. Steph Curry, LeBron, take your pick. And it felt like they were trying to anoint Anthony Edwards the next guy. And instead, they're going to get stuck now with either the MVP of the league, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who maybe doesn't play the most aesthetically pleasing style of basketball. He kind of comes from the James Harden school a little bit different of style, but a lot of free throws. Or Tyrese Halliburton, one of those two guys is going to win an NBA Finals and might be thrust into that superstar category just by nature of winning the championship.
Tyrese does not have the prettiest shot in the world either. You're right. I mean, Shai, if the Thunder win Game 7, he has a chance to win a title and be an MVP in the same season. And that enters the rarest of classes with Steph and Giannis and the best in the game. I think only six others have done that. And so if he can do that, again, you're in a class of your own.
I think the stat was if he wins Finals MVP and they win, he'd only be the fourth player ever to win a scoring title, be the MVP, and then win the Finals and win the Finals MVP.
Yeah, I think if you bring the scoring title in there, yeah.
I mean, he's been so special this season, and it's big. I mean, this is a huge game to see which one of these guys can cement their legacy, because I think we look at Indiana as a team that maybe isn't going to get there again. They've been counted out time and time again this postseason, so maybe this is just the beginning for them and they can find a way. But I think a lot of people look at this as the Celtics are going to be back. At some point, some other teams in the East are going to step up. The Knicks are going to be back. Indiana maybe doesn't get another chance. So this is a big chance for them to, okay, get your one-and-done sort of deal. And then other people look at the Thunder and say, this is the chance for a start of a dynasty, where they could win 2 to 3 to 4 championships in this little window that they've got with these guys under contract for the next couple of years. And, by the way, they've got a million draft picks as well. This is a huge opportunity for both of these teams to create a statement that, hey, it doesn't matter the New York, it doesn't matter about the L.A. and the stuff that's constantly preached. I mean, people are trying to get Giannis out of Milwaukee right now to go to one of these big markets, and it's two small markets that are in the NBA Finals, and I think it's really good for the NBA to have some of that parity, even though I think with it, they have to kind of change their message a little bit on how they market things.
Makes you think of the Diamondbacks-Rangers World Series a little bit.
100%.
Right? Down year from some of the big market teams. The Dodgers weren't in it. And, it's an opportunity here for the Pacers to steal one. They've been in it so many times, but just haven't broken through. I think it's the first time they've been in the finals since, is it the early 2000s, I believe?
Yeah.
And,
Yeah.
I mean, a huge opportunity for both teams. The Thunder, I think this series is going much longer than anyone thought.
I thought Thunder in five.
You thought Thunder in five?
Yeah, and I think when you look, too, at the opportunity that maybe just with the WNBA, too, if Indiana wins this thing, and then you have Caitlin Clark as a part of that revolution. I mean, Indiana's always been a basketball state, always has been. Like, when you think of the state of Indiana, you think of hoops, and that's just so big there. So it could be a massive thing to have Indiana become kind of the capital of hoops, at least for a year, because it's already, regardless of what people say about the WNBA and that discussion, I don't want to get into that right now, but Caitlin Clark is the draw of the WNBA. Like, they're the center of the WNBA world right now with Caitlin Clark there. And if they can win an NBA Finals, it kind of works out cool where you've got Caitlin Clark and Sophie Cunningham and Lexi Hall sitting courtside. I don't know if they'll be there. Game 7 is going to be in OKC, so they won't be there for that. But, I mean, could you imagine where now Tyrese Halliburton, NBA champion, potential NBA Finals MVP, is hanging out courtside at WNBA games. They support each other so closely. It's kind of cool, almost college-like, to have that sort of camaraderie.
The state has always been synonymous with basketball, but it hasn't really been the Pacers.
Yeah.
Right? It's been high school basketball. It's been Hoosiers, the movie. It's been Indiana basketball. But it hasn't really, the Pacers haven't been there in the last decade and a half. At this level, of course. Right? Indiana basketball, it wasn't there last year. They went 10-10 in conference. But you're right. It is a chance to capitalize on the WNBA success and, of course, Caitlin Clark in the state as well. So I'm excited for tomorrow night.
Who do you have winning?
I had the Thunder in four.
Well, who are you taking in game seven?
I have the Thunder in game seven. Like, I mean, again, I think defense wins this thing. We talked about the last few game sevens in the NBA Finals. It's been under 100, you know, since 1988. So I think Shea has a big game, and I think the Thunder's defense shows up.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Thunder as well. I think I went with something like 111-108. I think it's going to be kind of right in line with what everything's going in the series. Real quick, Bennett, who do you have in game seven tomorrow night?
I have the Pacers.
All right, so you're going to zag.
I think they get it done, and I just have this weird feeling that the Thunder just, like, I was so baffled by the Thunder's performance in Game 6 with how they got blown out.
Yeah.
That I think the Pacers have so much more momentum, and they've already shown, you know, obviously that they can win in Oklahoma City. Each team has, but the Pacers have been magical all NBA playoffs with the clutchness, the game-winning and game-tying shots that I'm going with the Pacers.
But I don't blame you.
A TJ McConnell fan.
Can you not be?
I don't blame
him. How can you not be?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you look at the opportunity for Indiana, it's like they've been counted out time and time and time again. They're going to be counted out once again in this. And if you're going with the Team of Destiny angle, that's the team that feels like the Team of Destiny, right? The magic that's going on this entire playoff run, but we'll see. It'll be settled tomorrow night. You mentioned that you have a little bit of Boston Red Sox ties from your times in the minor leagues. Let's get into a topic about the Boston Red Sox. Rafael Devers traded to the Giants, played against the Red Sox for the first time last night. Is he going to end up playing first base in San Francisco? That gets a little bit juicy. And now all that saga, what do you make of the Rafael Devers situation? We'll talk about it next here on the...
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1.
Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fan. Overtime on The Fan, Toby Altizer alongside Kevin DiDomenico talking about some baseball. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Phone lines open throughout the show. So, want to talk about Rafael Devers. So, this was a big-time story. When was that trade? Last week sometime?
Last week, yeah.
And he was traded to the San Francisco Giants. It was kind of, I wouldn't say out of nowhere, because we knew that there was some trouble brewing between the two clubs, but what do you know, with the scheduling that the Boston Red Sox play out in San Francisco, opener of the series was last night, Rafael Devers facing them for the first time. He went 0-for-5 with a strikeout. It was kind of cool to see at the end of the game, he kind of nodded to Aroldis Chapman, and it was go time. But what do you make of this whole situation with his, I guess, his stance that he wasn't going to end up playing first base and all this stuff? Who do you side with, Devers or the Red Sox?
I don't know if you saw the video of him nodding with Aroldis Chapman, but I saw this meme, and it said, when you stop by your local Dunkin' Donuts and they know your order, and you nod with the cashier.
So
when
true.
When you see him. It was a fiasco from the beginning, from training camp on, from Devers not answering Alex Cora's text messages in the offseason about different opportunities when they were thinking about acquiring Alex Bregman and ended up signing him. So this thing has been brewing forever, and then Boston finally pulled the trigger saying, don't mess with us. Don't mess with our front office because, you know, we back our guys who buy into our system, and Devers just wasn't doing that. And when you're paying him that much, you have to buy in. It's going to work out with the Giants. I mean, worked out with Mookie and the Dodgers. Devers is, what, 3-for-16 since the trade, 0-for-5 last night, and is
not a
homecoming. He's going to be fine.
Yeah.
He missed a home run by 2 feet, almost robbed by Seidon Rafael, who made this leaping catch against the wall, but it's been a whole thing. It's been interesting in Boston, and it feels like drama continues to find the city of Boston and the Red Sox.
Yeah, big time. I mean, So initially, when you read these sorts of stories or hear these sorts of reports about what was going on there, everyone immediately goes to, well, this player's an idiot and they need to just fall in line. And I think it was interesting hearing some of the differing perspectives, whether it was on MLB Network or other people that follow baseball closely, and saying, well, why was there not better communication? And like you said, you know, you have to be participating in the offseason, and, you know, if Cora's reaching out, Devers needs to be getting back. But I think it's interesting to hear just the lack of communication that there was with the Red Sox to Devers. And I think you can understand, too, yes, he's being paid a handsome amount of money. And so if an organization asked you, they're not asking you to do something ridiculous. They're asking you to DH first. And he said, no, I won't DH. I'm going to play third base. And then eventually he said, okay, fine, I'll DH. And then Tristan Casas goes down, like, would you consider going back and playing first base? Or Bregman goes down, would you at least play third base? And then he kind of staunchly says no. Like, generally, you would think that's okay, can you please do one of those things? But at the same point, if you're the franchise guy, you're the dude, you're the cornerstone of this team, is it not a little bit alarming where your spot, they signed somebody to come in and play, and that wasn't clearly communicated?
Yeah.
So I can see both sides of this.
Well, Devers said, too, at the beginning, he's like, if you asked me at the beginning of the year to play first, I would have done it. And they said they'd revisit it in the offseason, and Devers would be willing to play first in 2026. And that was at this lunch they had, this weird lunch they had on a West Coast swing. I think it was last month. And the Red Sox reported, hey, it went great. Things are really good between the front office and Rafael Devers. And lo and behold, a week ago, he's shipped away to the Giants. They've done this before. I mean, they have a history of doing this. So the lunch obviously didn't go well. And you can't predict Tristan Casas going down with a season-ending injury. It's like a bunch of poor things to happen week after week to Devers and the Red Sox. And, you know, even though they've won four world championships since 2000, there has been so much dysfunction with that organization.
Oh, big time. Well, and one thing that I think is interesting, too, that was a talking point, Jeff Passan had kind of alluded to it when the trade went down. I've had discussions with guys working around the office here about this. So many people look at this Devers contract and they say because of the length and the amount that it's kind of a bit of a dead weight. I don't know where that's coming from. I mean, he's a young star under the age of 30 that can... He's probably a top 15 hitter in the game. We could go through it right now. He's probably a top 15 hitter in the game. And if he's just a DH, I can understand that. But I think we all understood that as soon as he left Boston, he was going to go to first base wherever he went, or he'd go back to playing third base. Like, there was clearly a dysfunction and frustration with the organization. It wasn't that he never wanted to play the field again. Matter of fact, he wanted to play the field. He never wanted to come off the field as a defender. So I think that his contract and all that, I think this works out perfectly for the Giants. And for them not to have to give up Bryce Eldridge in this trade, what great work by Buster Posey.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show that no one wanted to take on this contract. I think it's, yeah, the Giants end up in a great position. You get, as you mentioned, I think a top 10 hitter in baseball. And by the way, the Red Sox got Kyle Harrison, who's a great lefty arm, a former number one prospect in baseball. So you profit if you're Boston. And I think, in a sense, Boston is looking forward to the future, and they're looking at guys like Marcelo Meyer and Roman Anthony and hoping that, hey, these are our guys for the future. Yeah, they stocked up on far too many reserve outfielders and too many guys that can play the outfield. But they're looking at the future and their top prospects, some of the top prospects in baseball, as, hey, and I think they looked at Devers saying, we don't need you. We got so much talent coming up. In a very real sense, they do need him.
Well, I think their big thing is if they go out and use that money that is now off the books,
exactly,
and go sign somebody this offseason, then they don't need him. If they don't sign anybody, then they needed him, right? Like, they have to go do something with that money that's now freed up. And you've got so many young guys coming through that I think this year they're not going to go anywhere. Maybe they sneak their way into the playoffs, but they're not going to win the World Series this year. But I do think with the experience that those guys are going to get, I mean, it sucks to see Christian Campbell struggle the way that he has recently and now being sent down. So it'll be interesting to see how they go forward with that. But get the young guys up there. They move on from Devers. It's probably beneficial just to move on in terms of get that relationship over with and send them out and hopefully bring somebody else in. But I think it's beneficial for both sides, and maybe more so for Boston, just to be done with that whole situation, not necessarily in terms of the trade. I think at the end of it, we're going to look back and we're probably going to think that San Francisco did out pretty well with this trade.
Well, it's the same way we look at the Dodgers, right? Same way we look at the Mookie Betts situation. Like, that was, I mean, that looks terrible on the Red Sox right now. Who'd you get? Connor Wong?
Jeter Downs,
who, yeah. I mean,
he at one point played for the Nationals.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So, but, you know, Red Sox fans for years were clamoring to make moves in the offseason. You know, from 21, 22, and 23, they finally did it last year. You get Garrett Crochet. You get Alex Bregman, Walker Buehler, go out and get Aroldis Chapman. So they made those moves in the offseason. I think it'll be interesting what moves they make going forward to try to build around this young core.
800-636-1067. Want to get back out onto the gridiron. Take a look at Terry McLaurin. What's the latest on his contract situation? Is there any worry about that? Also, year two quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels being one of them. Which of these guys do we think can make the leap, and can any of them leap ahead of Jaden Daniels? We'll talk about it next here on The Fan. Overtime, Toby Altizer, Kevin DiDomenico, talking with you about the NFL. If you'd like to hop in, feel free, 800-636-1067.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Terry McLaurin, contract situation. I think this gets done. I think we'll see it get done at some point before training camp. I don't know that there's much to be worried about. But we were discussing this in the break, Kevin, that I'm all aboard the Terry McLaurin train. I've always been that way. I've been, I think, one of the most foremost guys here at the station on Terry McLaurin. But you think that, I don't want to put words in your mouth. What is your take on the Terry McLaurin asking for? I mean, he's got to be asking somewhere in that 30 to 35 range, somewhere around that DK Metcalf contract.
What's he getting paid right now? Is it 15? 15.5? I think it's 15.5.
Yeah, I mean, he's not ranked anywhere near the top. Where he would rank in terms of actual receivers, he's not anywhere near that. So looking at his contract for right now,
I think it's 15.5.
Yeah, his base is 15.5. His cap hit this year is 25.5.
Yep.
So somewhere around that 25 range. He's going to ask for something around that DK Metcalf contract, which is around $32 million. What do you make of that?
Well, what he also wants to do is set the market, right? And I think the big question is, does he deserve that CeeDee Lamb money? Like last year, CeeDee Lamb went through the exact same thing in Dallas. He held out. He didn't go to minicamp. I think he didn't go to some of training camp, but took all those fines and he got paid.
And he's a good receiver.
4 years, $136 million, I think it was.
Yeah, so yeah. CD ranks third right now at $34 million. Jamar Chase is at the top at 40 and a quarter. Justin Jefferson second at 35. CD is third at 34. DK got 33. AJ Brown's at 32. Amon-Ra is just over 30. And then the only other $30 million receivers are Brandon Ayuk and Tyreek Hill. So he's going to be asking somewhere in that 30 to 35 range, I would think.
Now, he belongs in that class, you think?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
To me, I think he is. I think he's... We did this exercise not that long ago on Grant and Danny, and I have him probably as like a seventh or eighth in the league in terms of receivers.
And by the way, he had nobody throwing to him the first few years of his career, and then you get Jaden Daniels. He has this great season. By the way, he ranks 11th in catches since entering the league.
Yeah.
It's not like, he's excelled with not great quarterbacks under center.
So I think what... The reason that I think you have to be worried about this contract and maybe some of the holdup is he's approaching the age of 30 right now. He's already under contract for this year. So if you sign him to a three-year contract, you're adding on that. So you're getting him into age 33, 34. And the thing that you have to avoid doing if you're Washington is having an overpaid receiver that is no longer worth what he's getting paid. But I don't see that happening with Terry. Also, it works out just perfectly that in 4 years is when you have to start paying Jaden. After 4 years. You don't have to do that yet. So even if you are overpaying Terry in 4 years, you're not then paying still $70 to $80 million for Jaden Daniels when he comes up for a contract. So I think it works out perfectly that Terry would come off the books and he'd be probably done with his career, or at least maybe done with his career in Washington at that point, and then you pay Jaden.
Here's what I don't understand. The fans that want a penny pinch. If you're a fan of the Commanders, why don't you want the heartbeat of your team to come back? Why don't you want them to come back to training camp?
Like, yeah.
I don't get that. I think
that's few and far between for sure.
Okay.
But still, like, I don't understand why you wouldn't have got this done as soon as possible.
Agreed. So if you're Adam Peters, what do you think it takes?
It's got to be at least the DK contract, which was 33, and it's got to be the guarantees, which if I look at DK's contract, which he just signed, the guarantees on his were, let's see, the guaranteed at signing was 60, so he was 4 for 132 and mm-hmm. 60 guaranteed. Maybe you're doing something more like, I don't know, 3 for 100 or something around there and guaranteeing more than that, so 65 or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what the details are. I'm not great with contracts, but to me, this needs to get done. I'm not all that worried about it. Are you worried that it's going to get done? I think
it'll get done.
Yeah, I think this is like 95% yeah. that he's going to be day one of training camp showing up, and we could get that contract at any point. Another thing we wanted to talk about with the NFL is year two quarterbacks. Who's poised to take the leap, and is there any chance that any of these guys could pass Jaden? I don't think that's possible, by the way. I don't think anybody's passing Jaden. But of the year two guys, who do you think makes that leap?
There's one obvious choice, right, who's in probably the best situation right now with a new head coach, with an offensive genius coming to the helm, and it's...
Are you a Ben Johnson guy?
It's in Chicago.
You a Ben Johnson guy?
Are you an anti-Ben Johnson guy?
I kind of am.
Well,
I think he's a good coach. I kind of okay. hate him, though.
Yeah, what? Do you think he's too creative? You think he's, you know, too
no,
smart
he
on
kinda,
the offensive end? Or
I mean, you know, when you're flying out to interview a guy, that's not when you text him and say, by the way, I'm not taking this job. There's some bitterness from Washington's perspective, which I'm glad he's not here because Dan Quinn worked out just fine. But screw Ben Johnson.
Okay. Well, I think Caleb Williams is in a good place with Ben. You know, he threw for 3,541 yards last year, which broke all sorts of records in Chicago. His QBR was 28th in the league, but I just think he's in a great spot talent-wise. You know, of course, Jaden outplayed him last year.
Big but, time.
You know, talent-wise, he's in a good spot, and I think he can take that next step. Bo Nix surprised everyone last year, and the Broncos did. And again, I think it comes from Sean Payton, the offensive mind that he has. I think that helped a ton, and Bo can run with the football. People love that position that Drake May's in. They really do. Like Mike Vrabel coming in, and they had a great free agency. You know, you get Stephon Diggs in the room, Travion Henderson, who can run the football a little bit. A better O-line, Morgan Moses, came to town.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't think he takes that next step. But, yeah, he threw for 15 touchdowns last year, 24th in the league. Like, I think it's a really solid QB class. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is much better than this year's. And I think you're right, though. If you're looking at the guys outside of Jaden, who I'm curious your thoughts, we'll do this next, whether you think that Jaden takes a step or if he kind of takes a step back. But I think you're right on. Even though I'm not a Ben Johnson guy, I think he's going to be able to help out Caleb Williams. And you look at the guys that are around him, which is kind of interesting because we talked about this same sort of narrative when he got drafted, that he was going into a good situation, except for the coaching staff. Now he's going to go to a good situation with the coaching staff this year and year number two with them. But I think that Ben Johnson bringing in some running backs, being able to do what he needs with the receiving core. I love their pick of Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan. I think they're going to run some two tight end stuff where you got Cole Kmet, who's a little bit better of a blocker. You've got Colston Loveland, who kind of fits in a Sam Laporta-like role that he had in Detroit, where you've got a receiving tight end. I think Caleb Williams, I root for him because he's a local kid.
Yep.
And he's a likable dude, and he's so, so talented. He was so much fun to watch at USC. The big question I have for him, Ben Johnson has a very structured offense. He likes to run a lot of stuff where Jared Goff would just hit his back foot and it's out.
Yeah.
Will Caleb Williams do that? Because if he can, then I think he'll be totally fine. But Caleb Williams also loves the idea of getting back there and then playing backyard ball for 5 seconds. So if he can take a little bit of that out, that's always going to be a special part of his game. But if he can take some of that out and play in structure, then yeah, I think he could be the one to take that next step. But he's not passing Jaden.
No, absolutely not. No, I don't think so. I think it's a fair question to see if Jaden will take a step back. I don't think so. I think there's just two. Caleb has to get used to Ben Johnson. I think there's still going to be some growing pains, just as there was last year in Chicago. You know, Caleb's so good because he can play off schedule. It's why he was so appealing at USC, because he made these incredible plays. Mm-hmm. He's running around, breaking tackles. He broke 7 tackles in one play. It's why everyone loved him, and it's a blessing and a curse, right? Because to a detriment, he always plays off schedule. And it's also a problem that Justin Fields had, because he had to play off schedule in Chicago because that O-line struggled so much.
800-636-1067. We'll continue talking about this. There's a couple of other guys that I want to get into. That what's J.J. McCarthy going to look like in his first year after he was injured last year? He's going to be the starter, it looks like, in Minnesota. What does Michael Penix do? Do we believe that he's going to take that next step? Talking about year two quarterbacks, which of the year two guys, with the exception of Jaden, because we all understand that he's a top guy, but with the exception of Jaden Daniels, which one of these number two or year two quarterbacks do you think takes a step in year number two? We'll talk about it next. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Toby Altizer, Kevin DiDomenico with you on the Fan. Welcome back. Overtime on the Fan. Toby Altizer, Kevin DiDomenico with you until 6 o'clock. Nats baseball coming up later tonight on the Fan. Right now we're talking about the NFL. Year two quarterbacks that could take a big jump, which, as I'm speaking, I see Rafael Devers hit a home run against the Red Sox today.
Who'd he hit it off of?
Two-run shot off of Brian Bayo.
Okay.
Brian Bayo. Nice opposite field shot, but we were talking about that a little bit earlier. But back into the year two quarterbacks, what do you think J.J. McCarthy looks like? It's interesting with the Vikings, where they decided that Sam Darnold was... Look, I would have thought that you would have had to bring him back the way that they played last season, 14-3. But how he looked down the stretch, the last couple of games... You need a win in Week 18. He couldn't provide it. He played horrible. And then you get into the playoffs, and he looked horrible again. I didn't blame him at all for moving off of Sam Darnold, but you need J.J. McCarthy to step in and play well. What do you think he does in year one on the football field for him?
They expect a lot out of him. He's the highest drafted Vikings quarterback, I think, ever at number 10, which is it shows how much they value J.J. McCarthy. I think they value a leader of men. I think they had that with Kirk Cousins. J.J. was exactly that at Michigan. They expect a ton out of him. I think he's going to have a great year. Like we said, in Chicago, there will be some growing pains. That division, I don't think, is going to get much easier. You know, it was a great division last year. I think the Lions are going to be pretty good again. It's going to be a tough division to play in, but I expect a lot out of him. I think he expects a lot out of himself. And they took him at 10th overall for a reason. You know, I mean, they took him to be the starter ultimately, and I think he's going to have a good year. Again, growing pains, but I expect a lot out of him this year.
Yeah, I think with him, he's a solid player. I just don't know if he's going to be transcendent. I don't know that Sam Darnold was. So if you can just play in rhythm and get the ball to Jettis, get the ball to Jordan Addison, get the ball to T.J. Hockenson, turn around and hand the ball off, like, I don't think a lot is riding on him. He just has to go out there and execute. And Kevin O'Connell is so good. Like, there were two guys going into the draft last year that I wasn't a huge fan of. It was Bo Nix and J.J. McCarthy. And as soon as I saw where they got drafted, I was like, oh, I think they'll be good. Like, as soon as you see J.J. McCarthy paired up with Kevin O'Connell, you're like, okay, this might work out. As soon as you see Sean Payton paired up with Bo Nix, you're like, okay, that might work out. And we saw Bo Nix and Sean Payton worked out. J.J. just a little bit more raw, interested to see what he's able to do. But he gives you some more mobility. He gives you a guy that likes to play in structure and doesn't have a big ego. Like, at Michigan, he just turned around and handed the ball to Corum and Edwards all the time. So I think he can be nice for them. What do you make of Michael Penix?
Isn't situation so important in the NFL?
It's everything.
Like you were talking about, like Ben Johnson and Jared Goff, just the perfect marriage in Detroit. And I think Sam Darnold had that a little bit last year. You know, when you get a genius offensive mind, it can be really easy. And Sam Darnold didn't have that in the first few years of his career. So I think a lot of that matters for Michael Penix going forward. You know, it's really interesting, these guys in their second year. Certain guys who haven't played, like Michael Penix as much, or like a J.J. McCarthy who hasn't played a down. But I think fit is so, so important. Jaden Daniels had a great fit here in Washington. But yeah, in year two especially.
Yeah, I think fit is everything in the league. I mean, it's what makes it, because sometimes you get guys that thrown into spots and you see guys succeed in spots that you wouldn't think because of the fit, and you see guys that don't succeed in spots you would because of the fit, right? I mean, you can't tell me that Zach Wilson wasn't talented enough or guys like that. It's just development and whether they're able to fit with what they're being asked to do. But you go back and watch that Sunday Night Football game, Commanders and Falcons. Michael Penix looks so impressive in that game. There were a couple of missed throws, and he'll get more sharp as his time in the league goes on, but they had a drive where they needed one, and he just takes them right down the field. He's throwing lasers. He's finding windows. I think he's going to be good. I didn't believe in him, but his arm is special. He can just sit there in the pocket. I think he's going to be a really, really good quarterback, and I kind of didn't love what they were doing with the quarterback situation by going and signing Kirk Cousins for a lot of money and then drafting a quarterback, but ultimately they have a quarterback, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, exactly. I think there are shades of Zach Wilson and Caleb Williams, just the need to play off schedule at times. But yeah, I think with Bo Nix too, like we talk about fit, like Sean Payton, you know, it's so important to have that. We'll see what happens going forward with Michael Penix. I think there's something too about lefties that freaks people out, right? I mean, you look at the way Michael Penix throws and people are freaked out and grossed out by it. I'm a lefty myself, so no hate at all. No hate at all. I was a lefty quarterback under center.
Okay, I like it.
You know, I mean, was put in the backup role because of it, and then Michael Penix is going to thrive, I think.
Those Atlanta fans like left-handed quarterbacks named Michael. It's worked out well for him in the past. Speaking of football, though, I know you're a golf guy as well. Adam Schefter was working with, was it PGA Tour Live, I think he was working
PGA
with?
Tour
he was
Live.
Doing, which you work with as well. He was doing some reporting on the course. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I mean, it was unfortunate I'm not working the Travelers this week. It would have been a treat. I think some of the players were starstruck, too. I know Keegan Bradley made a comment. He's like, yeah, it was so crazy hearing his voice behind as I'm bringing my putter back. It's you don't get that with your on-course reporters in golf ever. I think Schefter kind of acted as an intern of sorts. Seemed like he loved it. So, hey, if he's open to it, he should come back for the 3M Open in Blaine, Minnesota.
I like it. Are you going to be involved in that tournament,
assuming? I'll be working that one.
Nice, nice. What have you made of this week of the Travelers?
It's a great field. Another signature event. Tommy Fleetwood, as we speak, is 13 under. He's the leader, and he has the most top 10s on the PGA Tour ever without a win. 46 of them. A guy you root for, one of the nicest guys on the PGA Tour, one of the nicest guys in golf. But it's a stacked leaderboard. I know you have a polarizing cat down there at fifth, and Rory McIlroy, who's made a bit of a push today. I think he's 2 under. And Justin Thomas, who's always so fun to watch at 9 under par. So I'm a fan of the leaderboard as a Denny McCarthy fan as well and friend. He was in the mix. He's not on the first page anymore. It's a stacked leaderboard, and I'm looking forward to what's to come.
Let me say, I'll root for Tommy Fleetwood as long as we don't stick with the Dak Prescott comp that I think
I saw that
Schefter threw out. I'm not going to root for Dak Prescott, but I can root for Tommy Fleetwood. I would like to see him get the win. That'd be nice. Let's get into some Nationals baseball next. We'll take a look at the state of the union of the team and take a look at the road trip. A tough road trip. Last night they lost game one at Dodger Stadium. We'll take a look at tonight's game and the rest of the road trip as well. Toby Altizer, Kevin DiDomenico with you here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.